You don't have to whisper.
Oh, well, yeah.
I don't think it was too high. I think you're able to.
So,
I don't think it was too high.
Yeah. Squeal a little bit, didn't I?
No. It's not squealing to me. So Camillus Hunt from Rashoon.
Yes. And he was fishing with my mother's uncle, Paul, or should I say, he's my great uncle, I guess.
Yeah.
And while he was down there, my uncle Bill learned off the sign from him. And that's who I learned to sign from my uncle Bill, eh?
Yeah.
And that was way back in 1956, so it wasn't yesterday.
No, that was before I was born.
Now that can tell you how old I am.
It'd be nice to hear a little bit about like the men singing songs, you know, in Meerschaum, like when you were a young fella. Like, when would they sing songs? Like,
well, usually on a party, and like in Meerschaum, they didn't have what you call birthday parties then, because no one went out in the boys.
Yes,
it was a birthday party business. But in Meerschaum, it wasn't a birthday party, but they did have beer parties. But it could be on a Saturday evening or something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
In the fall of year, in
yes.
Wintertime, mostly.
Yeah. It was in the fall, mostly.
And would women be at these things,
Jack? No, the women sit down and listen, and if they thought somebody was really hungry and wanted something to eat, but you know, because they were roaming around the harbour, if they went down the beer, they wouldn't stop at one house. Maybe they'd go to somebody's house and stay there for a couple of hours and might never see home, you know, before that morning. Like, they'd leave early.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd, if they came to the house and, well, my grandmother, that's who I stayed with, if she thought they were, you know, needed something to eat or felt a bit hungry or something, she got them something to eat right away.
Yeah, but the women didn't enter
no.
into the singing part.
And then sometimes if she went to bed and left them up, or in, yeah, you know, left them singing away, and she went down to bed, and I wasn't allowed in on this, but we used to be listening upstairs because the pipe used to go up to the loft and was about that much between the, you know, the ceiling and the pipe, and we'd be watching or listening to the hole.
And when the men would be singing now, would they be all around the table or?
No, there'd be some fellas sitting on a settle, we used to call it, then, or perhaps there would be two or three chairs pulled together. And then there could be one crowd singing, and maybe the other crowd were chatting over. But now, one crowd never sang while the other crowd were singing something else.
Yeah.
But they did chat, and it could be about anything at all,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Now, do you remember the men holding one another's hands?
Yes,
in that
yeah.
time?
But that only went down usually at weddings or something like that. Or maybe a soup supper in the hall. If there was a soup supper in the hall, certain times the men had kegs of beer home behind the stove, eh? You
this
know, made
homemade beer.
Yes, made out of old hops or malt or something like that. Well, they'd bring those people home. And maybe the beer wasn't brewed or anything at all. They didn't care, so there was, you know, something to drink. And they'd end up having, you know, a big party out of it.
What kind of songs would they sing? Everything, all kinds?
All kinds, but now what they used to call the dirty songs, they wait till my grandmother or if mother or other women were around until they left the house one way or the other, and then they'd sing.
And what kind of songs were they like?
Well, there's something like that one, you know, that Baxter Wareham have.
Oh, the
crabfish? No, the rubber boot song, girl. And I mean, that wasn't part of them times when the women were around.
I see.
You know. And another thing they used to do, if the women went to bed and they felt hungry, they'd always designate one fella that was doing the singing but wasn't just going along. You know, he wasn't singing that much, but he was helping them out every now and then. They'd get him to go and cook something for them. And I remember Uncle Jim Connors, now married to my aunt, he was designated to cook because he couldn't sing. But he could play the accordion.
Oh, could he?
Yes, Uncle Jim can play the accordion, see?
I don't remember ever hearing
him. Yeah, he could play the accordion. But he was obviously the fella. And lots of times that, not only maybe some, you know, fried onions or something like that. You know what I mean? You know how it is. If you want to get something quick, you'd fry an old onion and make a bit of gravy on it or something.
Yeah.
You know, and that'd fill him up. Well, might fill him up, but it stopped her hunger for a little while. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Singing
then coping.
Yeah.
Mm.
What's the next one you're
under? Let's see, girl. I'm going to sing one of my grandmother's songs now, and it's not really a Newfoundland song, but I guess it's an American song.
Mrs. Kate.
Yes, Mrs. Kate, my grandmother. And it's
Mrs. Kate,
Kate Wilson, yeah.
Small world, yeah.
Yeah. And I have a little bit about
my father was one of those men that used to be going around on those beer parties,
yeah,
and end up at Mrs. Kate's, you know. Mm-hmm. It was a big, it was a house that was always welcoming to people who were,
yeah,
and she might go on a bit, yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember sometimes in the winter when the weather was too poor for let him go home because she was like an old mother hen, eh? And I can remember this as well as it was the day. If she had no, you know, not enough beds, because we only had, I suppose, most we had was four bedrooms. And if there was so many there, she'd throw down old coats or mats or something on the floor, and they were so drunk, but they were hard, I suppose, and they'd lie down. You know, that's
yeah.
the way she was. She didn't
yeah.
let anyone go out,
in
you know, that she thought that wasn't able to make it at home.
Yeah.
And I remember one morning that Uncle George, my Uncle George, and his friend Ignatius Pittman, they came from the point up around Mrs. Hines, you see, and they were fluting drunk that night. And what did they do? Only went into Mrs. Hines' hen house and stole two hens. So they brought them home and they cooked them somewhere or another. When my grandmother got up, she found out about the hens and where they came from. Now, Mrs. Hines was from Fox Harbour, and that's where my grandmother came from, see. And she, you know, the way the old people were, they'd rear and rear and rear for little or nothing, okay? So anyway, she reared at them, told them that they were Mrs. Hines' two black hens, they were Fox Harbour hens, she was out to bring them Fox Harbour. So Uncle George, he must be 35 or 40 or somewhere around there, and she got two of her own hens, and she made Ignatius, that's Pittman, his friend I was telling you about, and Uncle George, in the middle of the broad daylight, she gave them two hens and drop them off up, bring them back to Mrs. Hines. So, yeah,
stone.
So that's the kind she, you know, that's the kind of person she was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, you don't want to hear her songs.
Let's hear her song.
I guess ramble off.
Ramble away.
That's a good song.
Okay. This is call of Last Fair's Church.
Oh,
and I got this song from my grandmother, Catherine Wilson, and she was a midwife for many years, and she born around, I suppose, somewhere between 500 or 600 babies, and some of those people were poor, so she got lucky, she got paid, and if not, well, she just sat down, you know, and if they had something to give her to eat, you know, a cup of tea or something like that, and when she was at this, she had to stay with a woman, that was after them delivering the baby, for 9 days. And while she was at this, she had to wash the bedclothes and all that, just same as if she was doing it for herself. And at the end of that 9 days, she got $5.
If she was lucky.
Yeah, if she was lucky. And when I was really young and she left me in the bed, I'd be drowned with holy water. Because in the winter, no, that's true. In the winter, like when, you know, the men came for get her to go to their house. And I'd hear the big langur scraping down over the side of the house. And I knew then what was going on. They were coming looking for her. And before she leave the house, we're heading upstairs, before she leave the house, she'd come up and she'd come over and stand in my bedroom door, and we're Catholics, okay, so she believed in holy water. So she didn't think about drowning me, but, you know, she shook the holy water around that was going to look after me until she came back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had great belief.
Yeah, she did. Uh-huh. Yeah. But like I said, she could tongue bang too when she wanted to. Anyway, let's get